Hi, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Branding Brews podcast. Ryan Wheaton here, your host, owner of Craft Brew Creative. And I am joined today by Jessica Farrell, who is the, well, she does a bunch of things, but one is the PSU, which is the Portland State University Business of Craft Brewing. And she teaches a course there, which is pub and tasting room management. I'm sure she could probably elaborate on that, but I ran into Jessica at the NanoCon conference that was recently in Vancouver, Washington. She had a bunch of things that she does that I thought would align with the podcast and I think would be of interest. So Jessica, I think you could probably do a much better job of, like, you do a lot of stuff. So I'll let you kind of introduce yourself. Why don't you give us a little background about who you are and just kind of everything that you got going on?
Yeah, totally. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me on. Super pumped to talk about marketing and branding and beers.
Yes.
My favorite things. I grew up in a restaurant family, and so I started waiting tables and becoming obsessed with customers when I was old enough to bus a table. So I was about 11 years old. And
wow.
So I've been in the industry a long time, worked every position in a restaurant and went to business school and really got focused in branding and marketing. And just recently have launched my own consultancy on personal branding and then brand staff training for restaurants, and was super pumped to meet you and kind of just talk about the biz. And I, as you mentioned, I also teach for the Business of Craft Brewing at Portland State, which is a totally online certificate program. And I teach pub and tasting room management. So it's all about how to engage the customer, how to upsell, how to optimize for profits at the end of the day by creating customer experience, managing labor, managing all your other costs. And that class has been around for 3 years now and continues to grow. So I'm looking forward to getting involved one-on-one with more breweries and restaurants and really just kind of teaching them the ways of utilizing the brand formula and creating brand promise to train really engaged, really empowered staff.
Awesome. Man, that sounds like a lot of important stuff. I'd say that a lot of the breweries that I've worked with or, you know, have just kind of chatted with in the past, you know, a lot of these folks are coming from maybe not necessarily a business background, but more just kind of creative. They're, you know, they're brewers. And so, I mean, like you and I too, you know, starting your own business or whatever, there's a lot of things you haven't done that you kind of have to tackle. And I think one of those really important things, like, you know, in, like you mentioned in your Portland State course, is the you know, just the management of a tap room and employees and all that stuff like that. It's huge for sure.
So I mean
what are, just to kind of touch on the course that you teach, like what are some kind of the biggest things you think, just if you were to give it a quick snapshot, like what do you think are some of the biggest important things, if that's something you'd summarize?
Yeah, totally. So the course is 6 weeks, which honestly, when you're talking about pub and tasting room management, soup to nuts, from opening your doors to really just creating a long-term healthy establishment, it's a lot of ground to cover in 6 weeks. Definitely just crank through it, and then students stay really involved. But I would say the most important aspects of the course is honestly, it probably comes back to what you talk about a lot, Ryan, which is understanding your brand and who you are. What we see in the market right now is having good beer and having a clean, you know, interesting restaurant is not enough. Like, you have to create a really engaging customer experience every single time those customers come into the restaurant. And so we really focus in the beginning of the course in knowing who you are and how you're going to train your staff, what's really important to the brand. And then we start to dive into the nitty gritty of operations. And that really focuses on your big investments up front. What are you going to have in the restaurant when it comes to everything from seating to glassware to rubber mats to what kind of dishwasher are you going to run? And again, that, like, just goes back to, like, what kind of restaurant or brewery are you going to be? What kind of tasting room are you going to have? From there, we really start to dive into the who And that is just your staff first and foremost. You know, what is your optimal employee? Who's the superstar employee that you want to bring in to your brewery and have them represent you and your brand every single day to your customers? And once we talk about how to hire a staff and how to train a staff, we then really talk about our customers. And we really focus on what our customers are interested in, how do we come to understand what they want from us, and how do we train our staff to not only anticipate it, but just blow them away every time they come in the door. We also cover a lot of things like, you know, how to measure breakage and how to calculate labor costs and food costs and a lot of those kind of like just really kind of at the end of the day, they feel like boring numbers, but they can make or break your business.
Yeah. Man. So yeah, you're not kidding when you're talking about you're covering a lot of
ground. Yeah, totally. I mean, like I said, it is everything from that customer experience, which feels soft and squishy, to the nitty gritty of the actual day-to-day running of your operation.
Well, so cool. I think the kind of what we discussed and what I'd like to kind of focus on a bit here in this particular podcast would be kind of the idea of you're training your staff, which is something you mentioned, you know, you're kind of specialized in. I think, you know, staff, you're the team you work with that is representing your brand every day, whether they're in your tap room or not. There's been some kind of some crazy stories that have gone on, you know, over Twitter and stuff where, people working at somewhat larger breweries have, you know, the brewery they work for in their personal bio, and then something happens on Twitter and it becomes a huge drama, and then all of a sudden people are like maybe looking at that brewery in a more negative light, even though I don't know, it's questionable. but yeah, so I mean, basically, right? So your employees are representing your brand, and especially when they're in the tap room, obviously, you know, like that's a huge touch point. I'd like to just dig into that a bunch, but you sent over a couple of points that I think would be great to discuss. And, you just recently did a presentation at NanoCon. So a couple of points you sent over, let's start with the first one, which was using a brand formula to empower staff and tell the brand story. Why don't you kind of give us your thoughts on that?
Yeah. This is one of my favorite ways to train staff. And it really just goes back to creating empowered staff. I mean, you and I, you know, talked a little bit about this. When your staff has the ability, or they feel like they own a part of the restaurant, or they are personally associated with the restaurant, they just have an intense amount of loyalty when it comes to that. And having a loyal staff is going to just pay dividends when it comes to creating experience, driving sales, minimizing costs, like all the thing we want to do. And when I really think about, and what I've really sold is the ability to create just like a simple formula. And if you look at that formula and you really give it over to your staff and you say, like, these are the guidelines for the brand. This is how we want to talk about the brand. And I recently did this with a brewery here in Portland, and we just had a lot of fun doing it because everyone had different answers, but they were all in the same vibe. They're all the same ethos of their brand. And so I like to kind of just map it out in three different parts that your staff would fill it in. And so that brand promise really comes out as, you know, at Jessica's Brewery, we provide blank name, product, or service for blank name, customer segment, or your persona who want to blank customer need or desire. And so what you allow your staff to do by giving them those three blanks, they get to name the product or the service, they get to name the customer, and they get to name the desire. And do you think we're too much in the weeds on this already?
Not at all.
Okay,
no,
cool.
This is great.
Cool. It's like one of those things where you like get psyched about it and you're like, I think, wait, did I leave everyone behind?
No, let's get into the weeds. I think people are listening to this are definitely industry, and I would say they're definitely, you know, experienced in branding and marketing. I think this is stuff they want to know for sure.
Rad. So when I'm looking at that formula, I'm saying at Jessica's Brew Pub, we provide super hoppy hazies for beer enthusiasts who want to have their mind blown when drinking an IPA. And it's like, now we know exactly kind of who the brewery is, what the product is, and who's probably going to be in the space. And just by using that language of like having your mind blown or super rad, we know that this place is probably kind of hip, might be a little young. They probably make some really experimental beer that's kind of quirky and weird. And giving the staff the ability to create that for their own verbiage and for their own pitch allows them to kind of put their fingerprints on the brand. And what I really love about that is like the staff get jazzed about it. Like they get excited and they kind of get to pitch what they love most about the brand. And you as the manager, the owner, operator get to say, you know, these are the guidelines. This is kind of where I want to steer the brand message, but I want you to say it in your own words. Because when we hear someone say something in their own words as a customer, it's really compelling and you believe it. You know, when you hear someone kind of say like at Jessica's Brew Pub, you know, we create super rad hazy IPAs for people who want to have their mind blown when drinking hazies. You're like, oh, okay, like that, I feel your passion for the brand. And that brand promise and that brand statement has always been something for me that has been kind of dictated downward. Working for big corporate restaurants, you get the brand promise and you memorize it and you're expected to say it on the floor every single time, consistency, consistency, consistency. You know, like if you've been to that place where it's like they're almost robotic, they're like, hey, welcome to Jessica's Brew Pub. We make the best IPA. And you're like, oh man.
You're like, welcome to Applebee's.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah, totally. Like welcome to Good Burger. You just like, it feels really robotic. And one of the things I love about giving this to the staff, like I said, is that they just get to put their fingerprints on it and it just gets even more passionate. And what that does is it also allows you to create a really, that loyal staff that is going to hang around year after year and season after season because they kind of had the brand promise written on their heart.
So this is right. This is very similar. I've done a couple of things, I guess, similarly. This sounds like a lot, and I'm sure you'd agree, it sounds like a lot like a kind of just like a brand positioning statement.
Sure, yeah, totally.
But kind of almost focus a little bit towards involving the employees in it in a way, right? And I imagine the number of the breweries you worked with maybe have not had this brand positioning statement before, so this might be kind of new, but I like the idea that because it really kind of focuses who you are and who you're serving, right? Yeah. So, you know, I think you can't be everything to everybody. Right. Although I think some breweries, when you approach them, are like, oh, like what kind of beer do you make? You're like, oh, we make beer for everybody. You know, and I mean, to a certain degree, sure, that's going to happen. You know, like there's no doubt that you're going to get people coming in your doors that are everybody, but it's hard to create a brand, deliver a good, solid brand message if you're trying to do that, trying to market to everybody.
Yeah.
So I think that positioning statement and saying like kind of your examples, we make super hoppy hazies, you know, like for a certain demographic, I think really can help with that.
Yeah. When you hand this over to your staff, you know, and you kind of say like, you know, tell like, what is our product or service that we're known for? What is our customer segment that we're really focused on? And what need or desire are we trying to accomplish with them? It also gives you a moment to test your staff. I mean, if you're getting answers that are all over the board and you're just kind of like, okay, clearly we don't have a communal understanding of like who the brand is, you know, who are we at Jessica's Brew Pub? Like, we all seems like we're on different pages. So now I know my job as like owner operator is, you know, I probably want to maybe set some guidelines or have a conversation with my staff or bring on one of those, you know, brand marketers to do a workshop to just kind of nail down the DNA. And the opposite is true. If you walk in there and you give your staff this formula and they fill out product and service, customer segment, need or desire, and it's all pretty, pretty damn similar, you know, you're like, okay, not only do I have a pretty solid brand, it's pretty recognizable. My staff gets it. They can really sell it. But also my staff, it's like resonating with them. They've internalized it and they're like giving it back to me. So either I'm crushing it or maybe I have some room for improvement. But utilizing your staff as like just a brand barometer is also a benefit of having that in-house.
So I've done something similar Just for the overall brand itself, it wasn't necessarily related to staff, but yeah, I did something similar where I take an existing brand that didn't have a huge, didn't really develop a full brand story or kind of a brand positioning. They were just kind of they were an existing brand. They were doing really well. They established themselves and using the tools they had. But yeah, I kind of just did a kind of a questionnaire that was sent out to patrons and to their staff, just kind of like, if you were to narrow down the experience of this brewery into one word, what would that word be? Yeah, kind of similar, and then having them provide a few different examples. And I think like you're trying to do is trying to find the overlap there. It's like if a bunch of people say a certain thing, and you're trying to be something else, and obviously you're missing the mark. Right. But so, and I'm curious to, yeah. So if an existing brewery, had been, running for a number of years and they're kind of just like, man, this is something I'd really want to get into or whatever. How would you suggest they jump in with, kind of like measuring, like it's kind of like measuring where they're at with their staff? Like you mentioned, like you kind of like give this questionnaire out to them or, what kind of tips would you have for somebody who's been running for a number of years and just kind of like wants to see where their staff is in regards to like representing their brand? Like, how do you think they would go about that? I mean, obviously they probably would hire you first of all, right? But no.
That would be awesome. I mean, and the thing is, like, the work that I am doing with breweries is not, it's not like rocket science. Like, this is stuff that, for the most part, I feel like a lot of business owners and people who have developed a brand or worked, with their same brand for a while, like, they totally get these concepts. Like, this is right. Like, it's not like genius stuff, but I would say first and foremost is sitting your staff down, together, whether it's separating them into, night shift, day shift, kind of whoever vibes best together. If you have a small staff and it's just a couple of you guys running a successful tap room, like, sit down, take it outside of the restaurant if you can. Like, if you can get outside of the four walls of the restaurant, do it. What that allows you to do is it allows your staff to kind of just relax. They feel like, it's a little bit less of the work test vibe. Like, am I going to be able to keep my job? Like, what does it say about me? Kind of get that out of the way. Get your staff together and just make this a conversation, right away is just kind of like, how would you guys describe us? Like, my other favorite prompt for staff is, where do you tell people that you work and what do you do? And if someone's like, I don't know, man, I just tell them I'm like a bartender at, like, a local brewery. It's kind of like, okay, nah. It's like, we might know that guy's probably selling it exactly like that when he's behind the stick. But if you can get your staff to start talking and start seeing, what do you guys say? Like, ask them those points of the formulation just as a question starter, as a conversation starter. I mean, like, what would you say our product that we're known for? Who is our customer? And if people really start, once they get together and they start rolling on a conversation, they will just start talking about product and whether it's the development of the product or the tasting profile of the product or the type of product, or they're not even talking about product beer. They're talking, oh, when I think about product, I think about our environment, or I think about our food, or I think about our whole experience. Now you're starting to see what's important to the staff in terms of the brand, and you can kind of start to funnel it down to, okay, like, I want you guys to, like, write this out now. I want you to write that brand promise, that brand pitch, that positioning statement, and then you can kind of funnel it down. That's usually what I've done when I've done workshops with breweries, is once you get the staff engaged, they know the game, Like, they're used to pitching the brand every day, and they'll give you those pitches pretty seamlessly once you get them talking, get them comfortable, and then you can kind of understand exactly where your staff is at when it comes to brand.
Yeah, that's perfect. I like that. And then how do you suggest that breweries go about kind of, I guess I would say kind of like measuring where they're at. Say they've had this big organizational thing where they're like, oh, let's make sure our staff is on brand and that they're representing and they all have their own kind of they're representing the same like brand positioning, but they're saying it in their own words or whatever. But then maybe like a year or two later, you know, I don't know if you want to go as formal as getting like a secret shopper or something like that, but like, how would you suggest that people would kind of like keep their finger on the pulse of how well that is being represented with their staff, or how well their staff is doing?
Yeah, totally. Ryan, I love that question, because I feel like secret shopper, number one, secret shopper is my dream job. Like if I could just be like a fun secret shopper for breweries and like hang out and drink all day and hear brand promises, that'd be my dream. But the best thing about having a brewery that is successful and has been around for a while, and if you're to the point where you are doing a brand training with your staff and now a year later you're trying to see if it worked or not, you're probably doing pretty well. In a market where we see new breweries go under in under 2 years, we see most of second locations fail, like you're in a great spot. So like, A, good on you. Number two, you've got your built-in focus group, which is your regulars. Your regulars that sit at the bar, that always come in for happy hour, that are willing to try the special. And those guys should be, A, just super celebrated, and B, utilized. They want to tell you what they think about your establishment. They want to tell you, yeah, I love when Jimmy waits on me because, you know, he always gives me the special. He always gives me the pitch. He always knows what is going on in the brewery, you know. But when, you know, Amy waits on me, you know, it's like, you know, she's a little casual. I have to kind of ask her stuff. And so then you kind of get to have a kind of like a loyal opinion about where your staff is kind of at. So that's always my favorite one, is like, go straight to your regulars, number one. And I also like never underestimate the power of the like 3x6 customer survey, 3-question card that goes with the check at the end of the day that just says like, fill out this card and this customer survey and get a free beer. Like it's super simple. Most customers like will totally gloss over it. But if your staff points it out, like, hey man, like we'll give you a free drink if you just fill out this customer survey. Like, great. Like you've got some customer data that you can then kind of take back. But your regulars are going to be, that's always the first place that I go to kind of see where the staff is at and how they're performing. They're already invested in your restaurant. They want to see you succeed. So they'll give you the hard news.
Yeah. No, that's great. I love that. I could see even tying that kind of into, like, I like the idea of incentivizing customers to fill that out. Hopefully you get some genuine answers in that, but I think even the idea of offering a beer would be cool.
Yeah.
But I, you know, kind of carrying some of the conversation on in regards to branding and marketing type stuff is that I could see the opportunity to maybe weekly or daily or something, you put those people into a drawing for like a free shirt or a free hat. Because then you're going to get something, you're going to give somebody, they're going to get stoked if they win, and then they're going to be representing your brand. You know, they're going to be wearing your logo on their shirt and they're going to be wearing it around telling everyone about it or whatever.
Oh my gosh. So yeah. That's cool. Yeah, absolutely. I'm such a big fan of doing any kind of like swag giveaway. It's also like great even if you did the free beer and you also threw the card like in the, you know, in a pot and pulled one out and they didn't anticipate the swag win. Yeah. Like they were just like, oh, also I got a t-shirt, like sick. Like,
oh yeah. I love that.
Customers are such big fans of that.
Yes. That's awesome. Speaking of, I guess, of like merchandise and shirts and stuff like that, like what are your thoughts on, like staff and like apparel and stuff like that? Is that anything you kind of touch on with your training and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's a swag at breweries and restaurants that are doing this well. They're so good, man. You know, we have some of my favorite swag that I wear, like shamelessly Frame out in Hood River. Yeah. Guys just like, their swag is awesome. It's so good looking. I have no problem like repping that on the regular. And when it comes to staff, swag and new swag is a great incentivizer. If you're going to require your staff to wear your brewery t-shirt every shift on the floor, they're going to need a few of them, and you'll probably have your base t-shirt that you'll kind of give them for free. But there is really some some bonuses to letting your staff have access to or utilizing swag as promotional materials for them. So if I am running a sales contest and my bartender absolutely crushes it and my brand new server crushes it, and I've got like two, you know, I knew my bartender who's been around for a long time. I knew he was going to really do well in the sales competition, but the new server, I did not anticipate that. Like, cool. If they both get, you know, like new brewery work shirts or, you know, a brand new t-shirt design, now I've got two staff members that have a different looking t-shirt, a higher quality piece of swag that they're wearing every day on the floor. They've got bragging rights, number one, with the rest of the staff. Number two, customers are going to notice right away and be like, okay, I'm seeing this like regular t-shirt, but like, what's up with that t-shirt? Like,
the VIP status.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you've also, like, I mean, like I said, the staff love stuff like that. They love being able to kind of just give each other a hard time and like pull rank and pull status and wear that new t-shirt or that new brewer shirt. And so utilizing swag just to, as like a reward, and just showing them that, like, you know, they're crushing it. That's always a really fun thing to do. And, discounts to staff on swag is also really key. Because even if I am not going to buy that new brewer's shirt and wear it on the floor, it's a really good gift for me to give. And if I'm like loving the brand, I'm loving where I work, I'm super proud of it, the ability to like hook my friends up or to hook a family member up with like a new ball cap or, you know, koozies or blankets or whatever that you have at a discount, like that's an easy sell for you, probably at cost. More brand repping out in the world. And your staff really feels like they're, again, like they're tied even deeper into the brand. So just rewarding staff with new swag and then just giving them really great discounts on swag. It's two really important things to me.
Yeah, that's huge. That's awesome. Yeah, man, just the idea of, right, giving staff the discount and then maybe like a family discount, family and friend discount on that merchandise. Yeah. Totally rings well with me, just because and I've talked about this before, but I feel like the strongest connection that I have to brewery brands, like the most affinity I have for brewery brands, is when I've gotten to know their employees through past projects that I've done with them, or just, you know, like I've done events at breweries and or even interviewed other breweries for this podcast. And it's like those relationships that I've established with those people, like I have the most affinity for those brewery brands. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think employees are gonna be the same way, right? Because it's like, yeah, the people they know, they're gonna be evangelizing, like, oh yeah, I work at this brewery and blah, you know, whatever. And they're gonna bring their friends in and they're gonna love it. And then like, oh hey, yeah, I'll get you a 20% discount on this hat. Like, or yeah, you know, their friend's like, oh, that's a dope hat. Like, how much is that? Yeah, like, well, totally. Guess what? I'll give you 20% off. Like, yeah, hell yeah, let's do this. And right. So that's just like such a great way to kind of spider web your brand out and just get it out there more.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, when 10 Barrel was really young, they did this really well and they would kind of utilize staff to kind of see if new swag was hot or not. So they would do like a super limited run on something and they would have the staff rock the swag for X amount of weeks. And then they would kind of be like, so are people like, what do you think about the hat? Do people like it? Are people feeling it? And they'd be like, yeah, they wish it was a snapback. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Well, like, we'll do the big run. We'll make it a snapback. So you kind of like let the staff kind of work out what's hot or not when it comes to swag.
Like that. Maybe you can include that on like the customer poll, you know, like on the little card, like, was it hot or not?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Bring it back. Bring it back.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, that's cool. Thanks. I was just kind of interested in on how you're approach the staff and their apparel. I mean, what do you think of, do you run with any or know of any breweries that like rather have them dress in a certain way to kind of fit their brand as opposed to just like wearing the brewery merchandise?
Yeah, totally. It's not a brewery here in Portland, Oregon, but it is a brewery back east. You know, Oxbow Brewing, when they first opened, they had this really, I mean, they were opening a separate location. They were doing a really high end kind of pub brewery, gastro brewery kind of vibe. And they had all of their servers and bartenders were just wearing like chambray shirts, you know, kind of like a denim shirt and jeans. Mm-hmm. And so like super basic, like most people have a denim shirt in their, you know, in their closet or whatever. I always like advise people when you're going to assign a uniform, like I would always advise against not assigning any kind of standard. Like it's not like a jeans and a t-shirt. Like you're, even if you're a two, you know, like a tiny little tap room in a converted garage with eight seats, you're going to still want to tell your one bartender, hey man, like I'd really like it if you wore jeans and a black shirt, or I'd like to see you wear jeans and, you know, a flannel button up, whatever. Cause then he's got an idea of what he needs to wear every day to work. And when you're not setting that standard, you're really rolling the dice, because there's really nothing keeping that bartender or that server from wearing just like a band logo t-shirt or another brewery t-shirt, you know,
yeah,
like straight up competitor or something political or something maybe inappropriate. Like you really don't have any grounds to say, hey man, like you can't wear that in here. So from the get-go, you're going to want to set a standard, like whether it's jeans and a black tee or jeans and a white tee, or jeans and a just plain, like no graphic, whatever. Or if you want to go that kind of classier route and say, I want to see like a denim button up. Or it's, you know, I want to see black pants and then a brewery t-shirt. And here's your five brewery t-shirts. Whatever it is, if you choose not to rep your brand, it is a missed opportunity. I mean, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, but if I'm walking to work and I've got a brewery t-shirt on because I am, you know, I'm walking in, I've got my big logo across my chest, and I walk past the same guy every day on my way to work, he's going to see that I work at that brewery, and he might come in and see me, or, you know, he might just have that plug in his brain of, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot, that's right down the road. And so more eyes on your brand, the better. And your staff, if they are really good brand reps, they'll have something good to say. They'll probably pitch it. Yeah, man, like I'm right down the road, like come visit me for happy hour. Without that brand logo across the chest, like you do miss an opportunity.
Yeah, I feel like we talked a while about the apparel aspect. But I do want to get onto this other point you have, because I think it's a really good one. Apparently it was very popular at NanoCom because there was a number of talks that were talking about these personas, but I'm also a huge advocate and I talked about it myself. So yeah, your next point was creating and utilizing customer personas to sell. So I'd love to hear your pitch on that.
Yeah. So customer personas, as you mentioned, pretty basic like brand marketing exercise that you would do. And, you know, creating customer persona is just a hypothetical, a kind of person that comes into your establishment with some pretty specifics around what their personality's like, what their interests are, what kind of needs or frustrations do they have, what's the motivation for being in your place or wanting to consume your product. And so customer persona, like if you Google it, like, or if you've listened to Ryan's podcast, like you'll already know what it is. My biggest thing when it comes to utilizing customer personas for your staff is it really allows you to optimize for upselling and to really just be even more efficient in your service and anticipating the needs of your guest before they have them, before they tell you what they are. And just like my favorite like example, is, so I have this customer persona. It's like the kind of guy that comes into the brewery, and I like nickname him something. I give him a name like Brian the beer nerd, right? So Brian, the beer nerd type, like you already know this guy, right? Like he's a know-it-all. He's a thrill seeker. He probably like wants to know what's new in beer. Like he's been to Belgium. He probably likes obscure sports and travel, right? Like kind of just painting this idea of this guy. And so if I got a Brian the beer nerd and I'm training my staff to identify Brian the beer nerd, or better, your staff is saying, look, I've got a Brian the beer nerd. This is what this guy, he gets this kind of thing every time. He has this kind of need. So then we're like, right, we have an idea of him. And we know his needs, his frustrations, like he's bored, he's tried it all. His motivation is that he loves beer. And so automatically with this idea of this kind of customer in my mind, I, as a server or a bartender, I immediately know when it comes to the upsell, I'm not going to waste my time with like the dessert menu. I'm not going to waste my time with, you know, telling him that I have like a dog area or a kid area, like knowing what he's after, knowing what his motivations are. I'm going to make sure that I upsell the, like beer to go. I'm going to tell him, you know, so I saw that you enjoyed, these three different kinds of barrel aged beers. Like, I don't know if you saw, but like we've got some really beautiful champagne corked bottled barrel aged beers in the beer to go cooler. Like here's our menu. So I know I'm upselling him on something that I immediately know that he wants, and I'm utilizing what he's already purchased in, like, at the table to, like, do that, because I know the kind of customer that he is. And what I love about this is when your staff starts to look at every table, not as like an individual single customer, oh my gosh, I got to kind of figure out what they want, what they're interested in. How do I upsell them? So they upsell them everything. And the customer's like, oh my God, no, I'm not interested in chocolate cake. Yeah. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't have kids. Like, I'm a Brian, the beer nerd kind of guy. Like, I'm interested in, like, what's hot. So I'm like, okay, great. Upsell him on the beer to go. Upsell him on some interesting, cool swag. So he has some bragging rights. And allowing your staff to focus on a persona, a kind of customer, as opposed to figure out every table, allows them to just move faster, and it allows them to upsell strategically. And upselling, as we all know in the business, it is one of those just necessary evils. In order to just continue to increase sales and drop costs, you're going to need to make sure your staff is training on upselling. But we also know that staff mostly hate upselling.
Right.
And being told, like, hey, I really need you guys to push this salad today. Staff is always like, oh my gosh, okay. But if they know I have to push a salad and I know there's a persona that's interested in salad, they can then just strategically upsell. They're not trying to sell every single person. So that's kind of like the 30,000 foot of utilizing customer personas specifically to upsell on the floor.
I love the idea. Right. I mean, I've kind of worked with somebody developing some customer personas in regards to how the brand is, like, the aesthetic of the brand.
Yeah.
You know, but I love the idea of that same customer persona in regards to, like, yeah, when somebody comes in, yeah, you just, I love the, how you mentioned, like, oh yeah, if there's somebody who's a beer nerd right at the end, like, oh, hey, did you see our cooler full of these, like, unique beers that you don't, that are not on tap, you know, right now.
Yeah, so totally. My other favorite, like, persona is just, like, the busy mom, like, and we see so much more now that most of our breweries are, like, I mean, we're kind of pushed to have, like, a kid-friendly space or, like, kids before 8 or something, because so many of our customers have children. And it's like, okay, if we see a mom walk in, training your staff to know, okay, I know the busy mom persona. She probably has a limited amount of time. She has to feed her kids. She probably doesn't get to get out a lot. Like, she probably is not going to want to ask me for the check. It's like, great. So immediately they're optimizing their service to get the busy mom, get her the highest check she can, and get her in and out the door as fast as they can. And they don't have to try and figure out, like, you know, what's super important to her. They already know what's important to that customer persona. So they just apply the method.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty cool, like, kind of little customer service hack there, you know, just, like, knowing that person wants to get in and out.
Yeah,
you
know? For sure.
Well, cool. I think we're probably in a good spot to wrap up. I think we covered a lot of awesome ground there. You know, there's so much to, I mentioned before we started recording that, you know, I've worked with breweries and some, you know, starting their own brewery from scratch, and some of the biggest things they've found around their branding that they, you know, were kind of unexpected was how much the staff played a part of that brand.
Absolutely.
And how that staff represented that brand. So I think this is really important, and I really appreciate your background and being able to provide some of those insights on different ways of, you know, going beyond the branding, but even just like the upselling and marketing and all that stuff. I think it's super insightful. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, totally.
So Jessica, like, how, if people wanted to reach out to you, how would you suggest people, or where can people find you and, all that fun stuff?
Yeah. So, you can find me at www.brandingwithjessica.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at Ghetto Gourmet if you're on the gram. But yeah, you guys just scoot over to my website, brandingwithjessica.com, and I've got a section on 4 restaurants to kind of just give people a taste of exactly what we talked about today and kind of provide some of those worksheets for staff for free, just so you kind of can get started on this kind of simple stuff by yourself. But yeah, reach out, and I'm always happy to talk shop. And if you're curious about the PSU Business of Craft Brewing class, that is part of a certificate program. So if you just scoot on over to pdx.edu/businessofcraftbrewing. You'll find all the info there as well.
That's great. Cool. Well, yeah, definitely reach out. Jessica knows her stuff, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights, and I'll definitely be in touch. So yeah, thanks again.
Yeah, totally. Thanks a lot, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Thanks for checking out Branding Brews. My name is Ryan, your host, and also the owner of Craft Brew Creative. With over 15 years of experience in branding and design, I am able to bring my knowledge not only to this show, but to great clients that make great beer. From the essentials like websites, labels, tap handles and sales sheets, to merchandise and vehicle wraps, Craft Brew Creative would love to help develop a cohesive and strong brand for your brewery. Craft Brew Creative thrives on delivering value through a collaborative, fun, and interactive design process. Whether you're an existing brewery or a brewery in planning, Craft Brew Creative will be a valuable partner to your team. If you are in need of any design or marketing services, I would love to get in touch. Head on over to craftbrewcreative.com for more information, or just feel free to email me, Ryan@craftbrewcreative.com.